recently listening to an Old World Tomorrow radio broadcast, and here's how it began. With driving music in the background, the announcer, his name was Art Gilmore, says these words: Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow. Music fades out. Mr. Armstrong, in his well-known, enthusiastic voice, begins with his introduction. Greetings, friends around the world. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. And then he launches right into the body of his message with this question. My friends, he says, what's wrong with the world today? Now, since that program was broadcast perhaps 40 years ago, the world today has become much more wrong than it was back in the 1960s and the 1970s. And the news of the world has perhaps deteriorated by orders of magnitude. In our efforts to obey Jesus Christ's commands to watch, how often we do dwell on the bad news, all the bad news of the world today. But brethren, on this last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, let us follow Mr. Armstrong's lead and let's concentrate just for a few minutes on the good news of the world tomorrow. Before we do that, let's take a quick look at today's newspapers. This is today's newspaper. Not the greatest newspaper in the world, but it's okay. I realize that these days, as has already been mentioned, this humble hard copy newspaper is considered old technology when it comes to finding out what is going on in the world. But in lots of ways, a good newspaper is in some ways preferable to the many sensationalist news sources on the television, on the radio, and the internet. We have to be careful what we look at. I liken some of these internet news broadcasts as they're almost like electronic versions of the National Enquirer. But here is a brief sampling of recent world news headlines. These are a couple of weeks old when I wrote up my notes. Now, I've omitted some of the nastier details of these headlines for the sake of the children who are present. Global hunger, unacceptably high, United Nations report says. Fresh violent protests in Kashmir. Cuba to cut 1 million public jobs. Forged Afghan voter card seized. The Eiffel Tower evacuated after bomb alert. Food riots in Mozambique. United States Senate candidate admits dabbling in witchcraft. Bombing at Iraqi Army Recruitment Center. Boeing 737 crash lands in Colombia. Apple manager charged with taking $1 million in kickbacks. Mexican mayor kidnapped. Mass rescue after landslide hits Chinese village. South African workers begin strike. Second earthquake in 11 days hits Papua New Guinea. And finally, India school building collapses. That was some of the bad news of the world today. Now here's some good news of the world tomorrow. Back in the mid-1960s, the church published an attractive, beautifully illustrated booklet with the attention-grabbing title, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Most of you remember that. Now, along with that booklet, back in 1966, I believe it was, the church mailed out an imaginary newspaper of the future, and it was titled The New World News. Here it is, my tatty old copy. Volume 4, number 250, dated September the 7th, 6004. Now, some of you will likely remember the New World News. I might still have your own copy. It's probably yellow and tattered like mine. But for those of you who have never seen it, we had some copies made up, and they'll be on the information table after services today and tomorrow as well. So please feel free to take one. I think you'll find it really interesting. Now, here from that newspaper is a sampling of headlines of some of the inspiring articles that are in there. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, inspired by some of the sure prophecies in God's Word. Now, please compare some of these articles with the World Today ones that I just read. Listen to these ones. Banner headline across the front pages: Millions Hail King of Kings. Look forward to that one. Nobody beefs about India's record beef. German reforestation program accelerated. Weather in revolution for the better. India produces bumper wheat crop for the year. Divorce totally eliminated. Egypt recovers from drought and learns that obedience pays dividends. Farmers incredulous at land's productivity. Bible now the basic textbook for all public schools. Vineyard owners report unparalleled yields. Jerusalem gardens awe visitors to the city. 6,000-year history of man unscrambled at the Museum of Past in Megiddo. Renaming project surges ahead. Jew-Arab animosity overcome. All gather together for the Feast of Trumpets. And finally, migration to farms continues. In the time available for me this morning, I'd like to go into a few details of a handful of these articles. But I'm sure that if you read the copy of the newspaper for yourselves, I'm sure that you'll find that they're all inspiring and well thought out. Some of them are quite amusing, but in a respectful way. Well, these items that I'm going to go through today, these are some of my favourites, and they're based on some of my favourite World Tomorrow prophecies. And some of these scriptures that I'm going to read are like a blast from the past. But they're not a blast from the past, these are a blast to the future. So headline number one, total disarmament achieved. Now first, before we go into this one, just for comparison, let's have a look at a brief picture of the world today as the end time approaches. I'll just read because you know it so very well. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Just cut it off there. And let's go to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 and verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now let's take a look at the very opposite conditions that are going to exist in the world tomorrow. Let's go over to Micah chapter 4. I always have a problem with these minor prophets. If you have to go to the index in the front, don't be embarrassed, because I have to do that sometimes too. Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. He, this is the Lord and Yahweh, he shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. quite the opposite. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But every one shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of hosts has spoken. Now in the New World News here, we read a front page article, and it says that it's from the Jerusalem office of MPI. That's Millennial Press International. So that was kind of cute. And it's about the total disarmament that's going to be achieved in the early years of the millennium. There's a photograph there of a huge field full of old army tanks. They look like, I don't know, old Sherman tanks or whatever. And they're being stored prior to the conversion to stump pulling, log dragging, land plowing tools of peace. Solar powered, of course. Headline number two. New pure language sweeps the earth. Here's a question. How many languages are there in the world today? How many languages in the world today? I punched this question into Google a couple of weeks ago, and it came up with this quote from the Summer Institute of Linguistics, SIL. And they say that there's 7,358 languages in the earth, that's being spoken on earth right now. About 2,300 of them have writing systems that go along with them, and the others are only spoken languages. Now in Canada we have two official languages, English and French, and even this can cause confusion in some cases. Well, think about India. India, according to this website, has 18 official national languages, 18, but 347 spoken languages. The African continent boasts around 2,000 languages. And according to this Summer Institute of Linguistics, China has over 200 languages in use, but countless local dialects. Don't go to China for a vacation. You're in trouble. But all of this linguistic confusion is a result of the sins of mankind back at the time of the Tower of Babel. And modern man has been trying to reverse the trend. Not the trend of the sins, of course, but trying to reverse the trend of the language confusion. We have some computer and internet experts who've had some limited success with translation software for the written word. There's a reasonably good one. Some of them are quite humorous in what they come up with, but there's quite a good one that's built into the Microsoft Word program now. And there's an internet-based one with the interesting name of Babel Fish or Babel Fish. I thought that was quite interesting. Just before I retired from the telecommunications career that I was in for over 30 years, I heard some interesting news of some initial experiments that were underway at that time on a real-time electronic translation system in which you would speak from the United States in English into your phone in English, and Monsieur Boyer in Normandy would hear what you say in his own French language. And that's, they've actually been working on that, but how much success they've had, I really don't know. Even man's best translation systems are very far from perfect. And what the world really needs is one common universal language. Back in 1887, a Russian by the name of Ludwig Zamenhof invented the Esperanto language, which many of you will have heard of, in the hope that it might be adopted universally, globally, in order to help resolve some of the problems and misunderstandings that are caused by this plethora of languages in the world. But here we are today, 123 years later, and very, very few people can speak Esperanto. That was the best that man was able to do for a common language. The estimates range that from a low of 10,000 users of Esperanto to a high of 2 million spread across 115 countries, so it really has not been a success. Despite all of our language difficulties, there seems to be very little will in the world today to spend time and money on improving the situation. And so the Babel situation continues. Really, if you think about it, perhaps the solution, especially in this modern age, is not really so very difficult. But God seems to be the one who's holding it up until his time is right, when he decides to fix it upon the time of Jesus Christ's return. And at that time, he will quickly change things for the better. Please turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says the Eternal. There's an indication there that maybe God is saying, wait, because you're not going to have any success with this until I'm ready to go with it. Wait for me, says the Eternal, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Eternal, to serve him with one accord. Verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. Please jump down to verse 13. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flock and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Now, the prophet Isaiah also alludes to this new, pure, unified language. Just one verse in Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 18. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Eternal of hosts. That's all I need from there. I'll just read you what it says in the article in the New World News. It says, re-education and literacy made great strides this month as thousands of additional schools continued instituting the One World Language Program as directed by the World Capital. These are the kind of articles that we look forward to reading. Won't it be a great day, just one what might seem like a small thing, but won't it be a great thing when the day comes that our ex-translators like Anna Boyer out there can once again sit in feast services with their families? Seems like a small thing. Okay, headline number 3. Superhighway connects Jerusalem, Berlin, and Cairo. Now, we're still in Isaiah chapter 19, and let's continue in verse 19. Isaiah 19, verse 19. In that day, there will be an altar to the Eternal in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Eternal at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Eternal of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Eternal because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Eternal will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Eternal in that day, and will make sacrifice and offerings. Yes, they will make a vow to the Eternal and perform it. And the Eternal will strike Egypt He will strike and heal it. And Kim mentioned that before from Zechariah chapter 14, how that's going to happen. Will strike Egypt, he will strike and heal it. They will return to the Eternal, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria. A blessing in the midst of the land will be Assyria, Israel, and Egypt, whom the Eternal of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Now, in the New World News, the article shows a map of this amazing new highway. It runs south out of Berlin, because at that time, and I don't know whether it's still the thought, that Germany is modern Assyria, runs south out of Berlin, across the Adriatic Sea and southern Greece, and then southeast across the Mediterranean Sea, through Jerusalem, then southwest to Cairo in Egypt. And the article tells us such a highway as this was impossible with the old world's geography, but it's been enabled by the vast geographical changes made at Christ's return. And quotes Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go over there. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Eternal, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And as the wonderful geographical changes, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. There's something to meditate on. Meditate on that. Go and look at your local mountains or oceans and think, in the world tomorrow, there's a good chance that that mountain is going to be a lake or a valley, and that ocean that's there is going to be, that mountain is going, you know, and everything's going to be turned upside down. Okay, headline number 4, Revolutionary Zoo opens its doors in East Africa. I love this one. In the world today, we have lots of wild animals, and the wild animals in the world pose considerable danger, and in some cases, even plagues. Think about mosquitoes and locusts and things like that. Many large North American cities border on wilderness areas, and in our own home province of British Columbia, the wild animals from the local mountains frequently come down, they're unwelcome visitors to the yards and gardens of the urban dwellers down there, even in relatively large cities like Western North Vancouver. Over the years, our own personal experience is that we've had neighbours who occasionally have had visits from bears and skunks, that's a good one to stay away from, and even cougars. A few years ago, right in downtown Victoria, and downtown Victoria is a huge Victorian hotel called the Empress Hotel, and they found a cougar, they cornered a cougar in the underground parking lot. Nobody knows how it got there. It must have wandered for miles from the wilderness to get there. Let's talk about zoos just for a couple of minutes. It is true that even in the world today, we have some superb zoos and wild animal reserves. I think of San Diego Zoo as one, the Kruger National Park in South Africa, and the Yellowstone, the huge Yellowstone Park in the United States. How many of you visited the zoo at Gage Park when we went on Family Day? It's only a small zoo, but it's very nice. But in all of these cases, in the zoos of today, for mutual safety, the human visitors must be kept safe and separate from the wild animals. In the world today, many of God's creatures are not very friendly to human beings. But as this New World News article states, God has solid plans to change the situation for the better. The article tells of a future petting zoo in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, where just like the Kruger and Yellowstone parks, there's no cages, and all the animals are safe to roam freely. But that's where the similarity ends. It describes a situation where a small child is seen riding on the back of a huge male lion. Little children are able to play with snakes and the big cats, the lions, the tigers, the cheetahs, the leopards, the panthers, as the children in the world today would play with a kitten or a puppy or a little lamb. And a sleek lioness, a huge sleek lioness, and a large ox are seen together munching contentedly on a mound of hay. Does God's word really suggest such a wonderful state of affairs? Absolutely, it does, brethren. Let's still in Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11, please. Again, these verses you all know, nothing new here. But again, think of them not as a blast from the past, but a blast to the future. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play on the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Eternal as the waters cover the sea. Now, in the Topeka Zoo the other day, we saw three huge Sumatran tigers prowling up and down, seeking whom or what they may devour. But before closing, I'd like to quote from one of the classified ads in the Lost and Found column of the New World News. Is what it says. It says, "Lost, one Bengal tiger named Fido Sam, in the vicinity of the pine forest just outside Marrakesh in the former country of Morocco. Our little girl, age 7, is confident that the finder will return her pet immediately as he follows her to school each day. He'll come when called by name and is fond of clover and laps goat's milk." Brethren, I'm looking forward to Volume 1, Issue 1 of the real New World News. What breathtaking changes it will report compared with the conditions of the world today. This is really good news. What a truly wonderful world God promises in the millennium and in the eternity to follow in the kingdom of God. Brethren, please do not allow all of today's bad news, and it's out there, do not allow all of today's bad news to depress you or to drag you down. Let us all stay positive. Let us all continue to sincerely pray, "Thy kingdom come." And let us all rejoice greatly as we look forward to the wonderful world tomorrow.